basically sort of lay the foundation so that you can understand the next talk, which is going to be focused on specific protocols for synchronizing ovulation in heifers and cows. So what I'm going to try to do is talk a little bit about some characteristics of the estrous cycle, a few management principles that relate to that. We're going to talk about how a cycle works, but more specifically, I'm going to try to emphasize some hormonal changes that occur that are required for a cow to get pregnant. We'll talk then about what these synchronization products do, how they work, and how they're able to basically cause these changes that are essential for the establishment of pregnancy. I'll then end up talking a little bit about a series of factors that are very important that affect pregnancy rate to fixed-time AI. For those of you that would like a little bit more information, there's a series of courses on synchronization that were developed. They're on a website at the University of Missouri. You received a handout at registration which tells you how to access this website, and it's free. So if you want more information, you could look at that handout. So we all know that the cycle is about 21 days, but I think it's important to remember that it can vary from 17 to 24 days. And that's important because if you use fixed-time AI and you want to do a second round of artificial insemination, you need to at least be checking estrus by day 16 or so, and you'll have to check estrus for about a week. So the question becomes, you know, why so much variation in the cycle length of a cow? It has to do with a process called follicular waves, which we're going to talk about. There are cows with two follicular waves, and this makes up about 70% of cows. They have a cycle at 17 to 20 days, whereas the cows with three follicular waves will be cycling every 21 to 24 days in general. Standing estrus, or heat as we like to refer to it, is about 12 to 18 hours, but it can vary quite a bit as well, 8 to 30 hours. And ovulation is occurring about 30 hours after the onset of estrus. Some of you are familiar with injecting GnRH to induce ovulation, and in that case, it's also occurring about 30 hours after that injection. So when it comes to estrus, the actual standing heat, it can be quite variable. And these are some data from Oklahoma State and beef cattle, which show that about 70% of these cows were in heat from 11 to about 20 hours. But what I wanted to show you is this 13 or 15% of cows that show heat for less than 12 hours. If you're checking heat twice a day, these are some of the animals that you could potentially miss. And so one thing about fixed-time AI that's a benefit is that you're actually inseminating every cow because you're synchronizing ovulation, and therefore these cows would get inseminated. So there's two structures on the ovary that control a cycle. There's a large blister-like structure, a Graafian follicle. In this case, we'll call it a dominant follicle, which I'll tell you more about. This contains the egg. It ruptures, releases the egg, and it reorganizes itself into a corpus luteum, this solid mass here. So let's just work through a cycle, because in synchronization, you have to be able to synchronize two things. You have to be able to synchronize the corpus luteum, but also this follicle. So notice that after estrus and ovulation, you get the formation of this corpus luteum. Notice that cows don't show heat or ovulate unless this hormone progesterone is very low. And this is a principle that's going to be used in the synchronization protocols. Because for cycling cows, if you administer this hormone progesterone, you can delay them showing heat and ovulating till the desired time. I mentioned follicular waves. So these follicles can grow in what appear to be waves. You get the initiation of a group of small follicles growing together. We call that recruitment. One of those then is selected to continue to grow. The others basically die. This selected follicle goes on to become dominant. It's dominant in two ways, not only in terms of its size, but in terms of its influence over both ovaries. This dominant follicle, in the event that this corpus luteum does not regress, it's going to basically to turn over and die by a process called atresia. And notice that you don't get a new follicular wave until this follicle loses its dominance. That allows a new wave to go on and develop. And when the corpus luteum regresses, this goes on to ovulate. So we're going to see that if you can interrupt this dominance. In other words, if you could cause this follicle to ovulate and somewhere in this period of time, you could then advance or synchronize when that wave occurs. So these estrous synchronization products can be divided into three groups or three classifications. There's progesterone or products that act like progesterone, such as MGA. There's prostaglandin F2 alpha. That's another class of synchronization products. These cause regression of the corpus luteum. And then there's gonadotropin releasing hormone, GnRH. These are products that act like this, can induce ovulation. So what I want to do, I want to show you just five hormone changes that are required for a cow to become pregnant, and then talk about how these products basically replicate those changes. Because that would help you understand why these products have to be administered at the correct time and at the correct dose. So the first change is you have to have high levels or elevated levels of progesterone. This is compared to a hormone called estradiol. First of all, that progesterone is going to be coming from a corpus luteum. So if you open up an ovary, that's that structure that's releasing that hormone. The next thing you have to have is that you have to have a rapid drop in progesterone. And we'll talk about how you create that. That's followed by an increase in this hormone estradiol, which has a number of important functions that we'll talk about. This hormone's coming from this dominant follicle here. Here's the oocyte that at ovulation is going to be released. Next, you have this surge of a hormone, goes by the initials LH, stands for luteinizing hormone. This is the signal for ovulation. And then finally, you have to have a rise in progesterone. So basically, estrus would be occurring somewhere around here. So what I wanted to do is just take these changes and talk about how you can replicate these with these synchronization products. So that'll help you understand the next talk, in which Dave Patterson is going to talk about these specific protocols. So first of all, these elevated progesterone before breeding. Okay, why is that important? Well, in the cycling cows, it prevents them from showing heat until the desired time, can block ovulation until the desired time. It prepares the reproductive tract for pregnancy. But also, which is a very important function, is in those females that have not started the cycle, a prepubertal heifer, a postpartum cow that's not come back in heat yet, it can induce cyclicity in a proportion of those. So what are the progestins that are available to be used to create this elevated progesterone prior to breeding? There's an orally active one, in other words, a progestin that can be put in the feed, that's MGA. But there's also this vaginal insert, controlled internal drug release is the name of it, a cedar. It contains progesterone. For those of you that are not familiar with that, it's a T-shaped device which contains progesterone. It's inserted in the vagina for 7 or 14 days, depending on the protocol, using an applicator like that. You can think of this the way you might think of an artificial corpus luteum. So let's just talk for a moment about how you induce cyclicity. So if you had a heifer that hasn't reached puberty, or you've got a cow that's not come back in heat, this is the kind of hormonal profile you would see in them in terms of progesterone. So we have progesterone on this axis, and we have days here. So what happens is, before the first estrus and ovulation, you get a cow ovulating, but she does not show heat here. Or a heifer, doesn't matter which. She forms a corpus luteum, but has a short lifespan. So the progesterone's just released for a few days. That release of progesterone sort of organizes her reproductive system so that she can establish normal cycles. So notice that when this corpus luteum regresses, she comes in heat, ovulates, and has a normal cycle, and she could conceive at that point. So a number of years ago, a number of scientists decided, what would happen if we were able to simulate that rise in a prepubertal heifer or an anestrus cow? And you can do that several ways. You can inject gonadotropin-releasing hormone to induce an ovulation, which will result in a short-lived CL. You could put a seeder in. That will also replicate this. Or you could feed MGA. And when you do that, a proportion of those animals are going to show heat and start normal cycles. So how effective is this? Well, these are some data from Missouri, from Dave Patterson, in which there were over 2,000 cows, four different studies, in which a progestin device or progestin exposure was used in a synchronization protocol. Now, at the start of that protocol, about 57% of those cows were cycling, 43% were anestrus. In our environment, this is pretty common, about half to maybe a little more than half the cows cycling when you start your synchronization protocol. Well, what were the results then to fixed time AI? For those cows that were cycling when the protocol was initiated, almost 65% of those cows conceived. For the cows that were anestrus, it was about 64%. So let's just think about this for a moment. These cows were anestrus when you started the protocol, and almost two-thirds of them conceive at the start of the breeding season. So not only does this help from a genetic improvement point of view by using a genetically superior sire, but there's important reproductive management advantage of having these cows conceive the first day of the breeding season. Well, let's also think about another situation you get into with synchronization. So you may have heard of administering MGA for 14 days, and then you come back and you breed quite a bit later. And you may know that when you feed, after you feed the MGA or 14-day seeder, doesn't matter, you get a number of these females showing heat, but you've probably been told you shouldn't breed at that heat. So you probably wonder, why would that be the case? Well, that's shown in this slide. So this turquoise box represents the 14 days of MGA treatment. And at the start of that treatment, you're going to have heifers at different stages of their estrus cycle. Here's a heifer each of these lines represents an individual heifer. The numbers inside these circles, that's the day of their cycle, with day zero being estrus. So here you have a heifer that's about day two of her cycle, very early in her cycle when you start the MGA. Here's heifers that's day four, about day six, so on and so forth. Notice that the corpora lutea are all regressing in this example around day 18. So the problem with the fertility of this estrus is in these animals where their corpus luteum regresses during the period of MGA feeding, and instead of that follicle being able to ovulate shortly after regression, its ovulation is delayed. That follicle remains on the ovary, and it can't ovulate until you remove the MGA from the feed. This follicle we call persistent. And in that follicle, the egg is believed to be aged, and therefore you get reduced fertility. Whereas with these animals up here, where they regress their corpus luteum and ovulation is not delayed, there's no reduction in fertility. So let's look at this in a different situation. Suppose you're using a shorter-term progestin treatment. So let's just take a two-wave cow as an example. So here's your first follicular wave, and here's your second wave that goes on to ovulate. Since this is the most prevalent type of follicular wave pattern in beef cows, these are some data from Dave Patterson from a number of years ago in which he looked at administering 7 days of a progestin treatment, in this case MGA, before or after day 12. So if you administer it in this heifer before day 12, so this is starting about day 2 or 3, You give your prostaglandin here to regress the corpus luteum. This first follicular wave will go ahead and ovulate. And in his data, this resulted in quite a high pregnancy rate at that breeding. Now, what happens if you give the progestin treatment after day 12? Here's about day 14 or 15. Notice, look at the length of this wave. It got extended. So this would be a persistent follicle. So after the corpus luteum regresses here, it goes on to ovulate, but that oocyte is aged, and in this case, pregnancy rate was 21%. So the question becomes, when these heifers are coming through the chute, you don't know where they are in their cycle. How can you go about alleviating this problem? And the most effective way in this case would be to give GnRH at the start of the progestin treatment, ovulate that second wave, that dominant follicle in the second wave. That will allow the initiation of a new wave, and therefore there's no compromise in fertility. I show this because this will help you understand in the protocols that Dave is going to show you why gonadotropin-releasing hormone is given at the start. Okay, next point. We just talked about why progesterone elevation here is important, how to manage it. Next thing you have to do is it has to drop. Why? A decrease in progesterone is going to permit estrus expression, ovulation, and it'll also allow this hormone estradiol to increase. How do you do that? Well, that's where the prostaglandin F2 alpha comes in. It causes the regression of the corpus luteum. But it's important to remember that in an animal that's not started to cycle, it has no effect because it has to have ovulated and formed a corpus luteum. It also will not induce cyclicity. Now, the other thing that's important to remember with prostaglandin F2 alpha is that there's a window of time when it's capable of inducing the regression of a corpus luteum. The first 4 or 5 days or so of an estrus cycle, it's not effective. That's why in these protocols that Dave's going to talk about, you'll always see the prostaglandin given at the end of the progestin treatment and not at the beginning. Next, we have this increase in estradiol. That's the third change that has to occur. It's important because it causes estrus behavior. But it's very important for sperm transport. Estradiol helps with contractions that help move the sperm to the appropriate place. This also induces the release of that hormone LH, which is important for signaling ovulation. So these are some data from George Perry, which shows the importance of estrus expression for pregnancy rate in a fixed time AI protocol. These are 4 different studies in which these cows were inseminated at a fixed time, and he recorded which ones were in estrus or not in estrus around the time of insemination. And what you can see in these orangish bars is that these are the animals that were in heat around the time of insemination compared to the bluish bars, which were the animals not in heat. And you can see that in every case, there was an increased pregnancy rate. Therefore, these protocols are designed to try to maximize the number of females that will be showing heat around the time of insemination. So how can you go about trying to increase the proportion of these females that are going to be in heat? One way is by doing a good job of determining the time of insemination, but what's really important is to try to synchronize a follicular wave in these animals. So just like with prostaglandin, where there was a certain time when it was effective and a certain time when it's not, so too during a follicular wave, there's a period of time early in the development of a wave where it won't respond to gonadotropin-releasing hormone. You can't synchronize it. But once this selection process has occurred, if you inject GnRH during that time period, all these dominant follicles will lose their dominance, and you'll be able to then synchronize the next wave. So next is the surge of luteinizing hormone that's critical for the signal to ovulation. How do you ensure that that occurs? By injecting gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That is going to be the signal for ovulation. And here's a picture of a follicle undergoing the ovulation process. You have basically the opening up of the follicle wall here, and here you have the oocyte about to escape. The LH also helps prepare this oocyte so it's capable of being fertilized and also causes this remaining tissue to form a corpus luteum. So it's essential that all these cows see this signal. Lastly is the importance of this rise in progesterone after insemination. Why is that important? It's because a rapid rise in progesterone will promote embryo growth. And also, this is the hormone that's essential for maintenance of pregnancy. So these are some more data from George Perry from his dissertation, in which we actually looked at the rate of rise in progesterone following fixed-time AI in animals that conceived versus those that did not. And you can see in this green line here, these are the cows that became pregnant to fixed-time AI, and they had a more rapid rise after day 9 compared to those that did not conceive. So I just wanted to wind up here with some data from Jackie Atkins from her dissertation, in which this involved about 1,100 cows, in which she was able to put together how the events in a synchronization program, how they contribute to the establishment of pregnancy. So let's just start off with this first injection of GnRH, the one that's used to synchronize a wave. Injecting that GnRH, if the cow responds, if she has a dominant follicle that responds to it, this results in the formation of a corpus luteum that's going to be present at the time of prostaglandin. So this helps establish those elevated levels of progesterone at prostaglandin. The other thing that synchronizing this wave does is cause a larger follicle at the time of AI. And she has, her data would say that the larger, more physiologically mature follicle resulted in a higher fertilization rate. The other thing that happened is this dominant follicle from the synchronized wave made more estradiol. And that had a positive effect on pregnancy rate. And we think that's through things like sperm transport and some other factors. That elevated progesterone at prostaglandin ended up being positively related to the amount of progesterone made by the CL after AI. We just talked about why that's important. Larger follicle resulted in a CL that made more progesterone. And the estradiol, the elevated estradiol at AI also resulted in a corpus luteum that made more progesterone. And finally, you can see this arrow going from progesterone after AI to pregnancy rate. The high progesterone after AI was positively related to pregnancy rate. So the two things we found that were most important is elevated estradiol at AI, elevated progesterone after AI. Those two things maximize pregnancy rate. So the take-home messages that I've tried to convince you of is that there's specific hormonal changes during the cycle that are required for pregnancy to occur. And the scientists that have worked on these protocols have worked really hard at trying to mimic those. And these synchronization protocols are really designed to do just that, to mimic those changes. Therefore, it's absolutely critical that these synchronization products be administered at the proper time and at the proper dose because they're designed to mimic those changes. So therefore, attention to detail is critical. At the start of a breeding season, it's important to remember that there's going to be a mixture of cycling and anestrus animals. And therefore, the use of a progestin in a synchronization program is well advised because you can help get some of those non-cycling animals started cycling, and you get a chance for them to conceive. And then finally, fixed-time AI requires really two things: the synchronization of a follicular wave, but then also control of the corpus luteum. So in these protocols you're about to see, you're going to see how those two things work. Thank you. Are you okay?
That was impressive.
Okay, well, thanks.